It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of March. Gail Miller addresses the crowd. An ongoing issue continues from the fallout of the fan against Russell Westbrook. The Jazz do exactly what the Jazz should do. And it's a points game Friday. It's all coming up on this edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Hope you're doing great today. Today's show is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a lot of geeky numbers, hopefully some good perspective on things, and hopefully most definitely worth your time. Thanks for joining me throughout the week as our Friday edition of Locked On Jazz, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, Barbecue Supply Pit, and Homie. Today's show is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Barbecue Pit Stop is the official name of all thing. It's just incredible setup that I went to earlier this week. We'll tell you more about them as the day goes on. Last night was quite the night. It's been quite the week, and it's ongoing, and it's exciting, I think, and great for the organization to be making some of the progress that's necessary here that needed to be confronted. And so let me start there, then we'll talk about the win, and then we'll get to our points gained, as we always do on Fridays. Gail Miller addressed the crowd yesterday in her manner. Thurl Bailey shared on our broadcast that she also addressed the team. And I think I have a feeling, I think it's become more clear, that going into yesterday that there was, I'm not sure that our fan base as a whole, maybe you personally did, but as a whole, understood the magnitude of what the fan verbally attacking Russell Westbrook meant to our players and what it meant to the organization. I think the player angle is important. I think this really hit them to their core. You know, that this stuff was taking place. That there may be more than anything else what we talked about this week. That it's not as much, I mean, it's largely that this one individual is acting in this manner. It's more that no one told him to stop. No one stood up in the community around him and said, that's enough, or that's not right. And as I talked about this week, that's what has to happen. That's where we have to get to. And so this really struck to the core of our players, and it had a large impact on them, and still is currently. It forced the NBA as a whole to deal with the verbal abuse players take across the league, and I think it forced our organization to deal with a reputation that we talked about earlier this week in regards to having racially loaded language coming out of the crowd toward players. That's not something that anyone ever really wants to believe exists, because particularly if you're not one who would do it, it seems overwhelming and outlandish that one would, and that one in your community would. And I think it's a bit stunning when you find out that maybe it's happened, you know, regularity is a weird word, that it's not a one-off. How's that? And so Gail's great. The real question is, you know, can we build that community in our crowd? Can we, in in major cities in America, there's not many arenas on the bottom 15 to 20 to 25 rows are absent of minority presence as ours. And so there's some natural policing that takes place in an integrated community that doesn't exist inside our arena. And therefore, I think it's going to be the real question is whether or not we, as a in-arena community, can change it and are able to make this our new standard, use that text line, and do all the things that we need to do. So that's that was quite a night. Gail Miller, there's a moment in, I mean, she is just an incredible woman in that her realm and that she has been asked to be put this front and center. When she did her book club with Epe Udo, he asked her, like, how has this evolution been for you from just, you know, the wife of a guy, the two of you are struggling without college educations to try to pay the bills and pull out of college because of the fact that, you know, you don't have the money to pay for college. And now all of a sudden, you know, in some ways she's the first lady of Utah. And now she's not the first lady of Utah, or she was the first lady of Utah, excuse me. And now she's not the first lady of Utah. She's probably the most single important executive in Utah. She's just so fabulous at holding that role. I love the way that she just said, okay, I wrote this down because I want it to be said correctly. You know, other teams are not our enemies. They are our competition. That's a great point. And competition, as she said, allows us to show the best of ourselves. The one that jumped out to me, and there's a moment in time where I think someone maybe has the quote that they are forever remembered by as a public figure. Larry had his quote in which he has two of them. What one is continue to go do good until there's no good to be done. And then the other is the one that's up on the locker room. That is about his, you know, go give everything out on the floor. And if you give everything, that's all we ask. The first one is go out into the world and do good until there is too much good in the world. It's a great quote. And that I think, you know, I think that there is, I think Gail Miller might have had hers last night, at least in my mind, with when no one wins, when respect goes away. It's fabulous. It's great. I could be a million times better at it than I am, and we'll try to be. It's a fabulous, great quote. And touches on exactly what I think she's the essence of who she is and what she's about. All right, so let's talk about the Jazz game here when we continue. But I do think that as much as it's hard for us as a community to realize, there's a reputation, and inside the reputation, I think I'm pretty certain there were enough incidences that led to the reputation that there was an issue that probably could not be addressed or brought to the forefront entirely until a crisis. And we hit the crisis, and now we get to address it, and now we get to get better. Today's show is brought to you by the Barbecue Pit Stop. I found out about the Barbecue Pit Stop. I actually found out about it a little while ago, but I really found out about it this week because I stopped by and went up to the Layton store. I met the incredible Kennedy. It is, if you are a fly fisherman or you are a golfer, it is the ultimate stop, exactly the same as one of those like specialty golf stores where you want to go in all the time and test all the new stuff and all the fly fishing rods, and that's what the barbecue pit stop is. It has the best selection of all the smokers that are out there, whether it's a Traeger or a Yoder or some other brand. Then you can taste your sauces because they've got every sauce. They've got these little, they're not quite test tubes. They're like mini sampling bottles, but they're kind of cute. And you can literally test 50, 60 different sauces. Then there's the wall of rubs. And Kennedy can walk you through and he gets all fired up about which one he's going to. There's over 300 sauces and rubs. I mean, Kennedy's telling me the Plowbird's barbecue, Yardbird, plus the Obi, you put them together, it cuts, you get some sweet and hot, you mix the two rubs together. Now he says, now that's just for pork. If I got beef, then I'm going to the Traeger, Blacken, Saskatchewan with the coffee rub, and I'm mixing those. I mean, Kennedy's just so into it. If I got chicken, I'm doing the butt get on. Chicken this and this rub, and I mean, he was just like, it's great. The passion inside the barbecue pit stop just pounds out at you. These people love this. You get the best selection, you get expertise, and you get a lifelong barbecue advisor. It's really, really cool. Stop on by Barbecue Pit Stop in Layton, in Lehigh, and a new one downtown at 1300 East and 300 West. It's the Barbecue Pit Stop. Also, if you're in the market for a car this week, Murdoch Hyundai has got it all going on for you. Murdoch Hyundai is located at 4646 South State Street. Family owned, the Murdochs have been in Utah for 90 years. Blake is down at the Linden store. They got the crew at the in Logan as well. And it's just, check it out. The Kona is just terrific. It coming in around $23,000. The Kona is the little SUV. You can trade in and trade up right now for $199 per month. You get the all-wheel Kona SE. All the bells, all the whistles, cute, small, zippy SUV for you. I drove one a little while ago, just absolutely loved it. As you know, we went and purchased the Hyundai Santa Fe recently, starting at $21,990 right now. We got one for my son with all the bells, all the whistles, all the safety features for a new driver. We did the research. It had the best size for my wife when she needed to drive it. It had all the safety features that were necessary for a young driver. That's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street in Murray, also in Logan and in Linden. Check it out and find out about the Murdoch's no regrets buying experience. So the Jazz were really good last night. Fundamentally, just kind of got up, got ahead. Early in the ball game, kind of went through what you'd expect. And then I thought one of the key sequences of the game favors literally just bogarted, ripped away, stole. I said on the call, like, as though he was stealing their lunches from the playground like a bully. Two offensive rebounds and putting them back up and in and just, you know, kind of breaking the will of the Wolves who had gone through travel hell. And so the Jazz, I think, were able to take away or take advantage of that last night in a nice fashion. Impressively. They got up by 9 at the end of 1. They stayed up by 9. At the half, they were up by 10 at the end of 3, and they blew it out to 20 in the second half of the game. It wasn't one where you're, you know, overwhelmed by any one performance. It was just a fundamental win against a team that's a little disheartened, a little injured without point guards, gone through a hell of a lot of travel, don't have anything left on the line, and you're able to just, you know, kind of take it to them. I thought Carl Anthony Towns had kind of an emotionally weak game last night, and the Jazz were able to take advantage of that. The thing that the Jazz just continue to do, and I know I think I talk about this probably more than anything else, and I think probably a little bit to your ad nauseum, is the shot selection. So in the last 5 years, there's been one team that has shot over 40% of their shots at the rim. And I actually thought that there were going to be a few this year and went and looked it up today. There's not. The Lakers have slipped under 40% of their shots at the rim. We've been there now two nights in a row. Phoenix, we had 42. Minnesota last night, we had 37 shots at the rim, according to Cleaning the Glass, which takes out blowout time, which they started at about the two-minute mark. We took 43% of our shots at the rim last night and 38% of our shots as threes. You get over 80% of your shots as smart shots, and you are just in rarefied air. Right now, we take the sixth most amount of shots at the rim at 36%. Lakers are the most at 39.7, so they do not look like they're going to get over 40. The Bucks are at 38. The Hawks are at 37. Thunder at 36.5. Pelicans are 36.2. We're at 36.1. And then we take the sixth most amount of threes and the second most corner threes in the league. We take 11.9% of our shots as corner threes. We take 30% of our overall threes as corner threes, by far the highest rate in the league. Those are the two best shots. Our shot selection is just incredible right now. I know that we're kind of, well, we're taking too many threes. Not really true. The number that you should be watching every night is what percentage of our shots are in the restricted area. The other one that is going on is this, the corner three. So Milwaukee held us to five. Otherwise, we've had nine or more corner threes, and the Warriors held us to seven. We've had nine or more corner threes in every game since, other than two, basically, since January 18th. We shoot 37% on corner threes. Those are good shots. We shoot 37% on the little floater in the lane, and we shoot 37% on a corner three. And one's worth 3 points, and the other's worth two. We shoot 39% on our mid-range shots, which is a little off league average, but not a lot. Like, that's the point differential between the threes and the twos. And our above the break three is not great. And interestingly, right now, it's really not very good. We go in these little stretches where we either are really great on our above the break corner three or not. But when we're taking 30% of our threes as above the break, then, 30% of our threes at when we're as corner threes, then we're able to negate, you know, some of the variance. But we're at 32% on corner threes over the last six games. We're at 35% for the season. So we're certainly not been as good on that. But that's, so last night, 43% of the shots at the rim is in the 84th percentile of all teams, according to Cleaning the Glass. 38% of threes is in the 77th percentile. And 14% of your shots being corner threes last night is in the 94th percentile. And 18% of your shots being in the mid-range is in the 6th percentile, which is fabulous. So I talk about this. I was actually self-critiquing Locked On Jazz the other day while doing that to some of the other Locked On shows. And, you know, sometimes I was like, okay, well, we're a little numbers heavy. You can actually sometimes can't even tell I watched the game other than the fact you know that I'm a play-by-play announcer, so you know I probably did sometimes. And there aren't enough specific moments and plays we're talking about. And yet, we're talking about the numbers so much. But that really tells a huge story to what our offense is doing and that it's spacing well and it's executing. Last night, the offensive rating was a 122. That's one of our better nights of the year. And it's somewhat predicated on our continual ability to get the right shots. As I said earlier, there wasn't really one star last night. Having Neto back seems to really be impacting this team in a positive way. He's positive again on the floor last night. More than that, it's giving a consistency to kind of every minute on the floor. Dante played a few minutes last night. Had two turnovers in 3 minutes, but had a sore knee and did not return. He still kind of is in his doldrums. We'll see how that plays. The defensive rating on the old school metric got back under 100. So the Jazz have now done that in 6 of the last 9 games. So the defense is really beginning to dig back in. Last night, Rubio, still another bad shooting night. He is really, really struggling with his shot since coming back, but plus 6. So, you know, here's another night where the Jazz point guards played 35 minutes last night, and we were plus 13 with a point guard on the floor. We were good plus 7 in the 15 minutes where we did not have a point guard on the floor last night. Key moment of the game, though, as I said, I think is Favors just beasting everyone. Today's show is brought to you in part by our friends over at Homey. Homey is revolutionizing the real estate marketplace, and you are the benefactor. In fact, they have changed one of their policies recently. Instead of various this to list and this to close, it's now just $1,500 when you want to list a house with Homey. $1,500. One flat fee. That's it. You sell your house for commission on a $500,000 house. That used to be 3% of $500,000. That's now $1,500. It's a $300,000 house. That's now $1,500. It's a $1.5 million house. Good for you. And it's $1,500. It's what Homey has really done. And then they've built a team that helps you out along the way. And in turn, Homey's been selling houses faster than the market average. They've been selling houses at a higher rate than the market average. And they are revolutionizing entirely how real estate's being done. Learn more about my friends at Homey by texting LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK at 88588. The real estate market was one that needed to be changed, revolutionized, and altered. And that's been done by Homey. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. All right, let's do points gained. Points gained is the offensive metric we use to evaluate offensive players. We saw Andrew Wiggins last night, who number one pick of the draft, and is truly stunningly inefficient. If you look at Andrew Wiggins, restricted area over, I think this is over the last 4 years, 275 shots or more in the restricted area. 51 players have done it. Wiggins ranks 49th. Floaters range, non-restricted area paint shots, 150 or more, 44th out of 44. Mid-range shooting, 150 mid-range shots or more, 53 out of 55. Three-pointers, 253 pointers, 71st out of 85th. Effective field goal percentage with at least 700 field goal attempts. 44.8, 66th out of 67 players. Colin Sexton is worse. True shooting percentage, which weighs free throw shooting as well. 700 field goal attempts. Andrew Wiggins, 67th out of 67. It's incredible. During the last 4 years of players, actually, those are all this year's numbers. I don't know if that's totally true. Out of the last 4 years, out of 3,000 field goal attempts, players, there's about 59 players have taken 3,000 field goal attempts. Andrew Wiggins is 56th out of 59. Though, probably for a longer conversation, yet their offense has always been top five. So is that if they didn't have Andrew Wiggins, they'd be the best offense in the NBA because of Karl Anthony Towns? Or somehow Wiggins, there's something in Wiggins is doing that is not as negative as the numbers say? Not entirely sure. Here are your top pack points game players. It's getting close. Steph Curry's slipping a little bit. And he is at 3.6. Giannis is at 3.4 and Harden is at 3.0. So those are the top three. We always seem to have three and three. Durant at 2.9, which is off where he usually is. He's usually the league leader with Steph. Karl Anthony Towns is 2.7. Karl Anthony Towns is 52% from the floor, 50% from three, and 83% from incredible. John Collins in Atlanta is a 2.6. Rudy Gobert, 2.5. Clint Capella, 2.2. Houston, Clint Capella comes back. Houston goes nuts. It's not a coincidence. Danilo Gallinari at 2.2. Clippers much better than we think. Kawhi Leonard, 2.2. Those are the players in the league, the nine of them that are two, actually the 10 of them, it's almost exactly that number, that are two or better. Looking at the Jazz points gained for the season, Gobert 2.5, Favors 1.2, Korver 0.6. That was a big switch from AB to Korver. Tabo 0.3, Royce 0.3. This is getting great because everyone's just a little bit above average, and that's the goal. Joe Ingles 0.1. Dante's negative 0.5. Jay Crowder's negative 0.9. Ricky Rubio's minus 1.2. And Donovan Mitchell is minus 1.5. What's interesting about Rubio is these numbers would back up the idea that if you just replace Rubio with an average point guard, you would be better because you would lose his minus 1.2. And what we've seen is actually that Rubio's presence seems to be necessary for the Jazz offense to run. Bottom guys in the league, Andrew Wiggins, minus 2.8. Russell Westbrook, minus 2.7. Kevin Knox, minus 2.5. Frank Ntilikina, minus 2.0. Colin Sexton, minus 1.8. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, minus 1.8. Dennis Schroeder, minus 1.8. This is why Oklahoma City might be vulnerable in the playoffs. If you can find a way to slow down Paul George. Josh Jackson, minus 1.7. Chris Dunn, minus 1.7. And then Donovan Mitchell comes in, as we mentioned, at minus 1.5. One thing I did not do today was update you for the week before we go on the weekend on the playoff picture last night. We have the Oklahoma City lost in Indiana, Sacramento. So does it change anything? Warriors 58, according to 538. Nuggets are at 52. Rockets, Nuggets are at 54. Rockets are at 52 in the third seed. Blazers are 51. Thunder 50. And Jazz are now 50. But then the Jazz fall into sixth. The Clippers are at 46. Spurs are at 47 now. Kings 39. So, no, the Jazz don't have a threat to fall out of the playoffs. The Thunder-Jazz thing gets interesting and is worth watching. Is there any way the Jazz can get to 51, get that fifth seed, and play Portland? I just don't think we want to play Houston. If there's anyone out there I think we want to avoid, it's Houston in the first round. That is Locked On Jazz. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Locked On NBA, Anthony Irwin and Adam Modest today. Hope you enjoy that. Go find your NFL Locked On's Thursday show with Mike Sando and Matt Williamson. It was just fabulous on Locked On NFL. Have a great day. Appreciate your time. Have a super weekend.